Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey everybody, my name is Doug and I love movies. That's right, this is Doug Loves Movies coming to you from the Never Not Funny Studios in the Valley of Los Angeles on June 30th, 2 Ocean's 11. I just got back from the Greatest Movie Ever Rolled tour, and I'd like to thank Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase, Jukebox Comedy Club in Peoria, Pulse's Gentlemen's Club next door to Jukebox Comedy in Peoria, Zany's in Chicago, Funny Bone in Des Moines, Waiting Room Lounge in Omaha, City Arts Center in Oklahoma City, and the Improv in Houston. Oh, and also the Houston Airport, where it's a great airport if you love having the word cart yelled at you repeatedly. I had a great time slogging through all of those places, and Burbank as well is the final show on the tour. We're going to do that tonight, and Graham Elwood was there with me, and it's going to be a movie someday. It's week six of me not seeing Pirates 4, Prince of Tides, and it's week two of me not seeing Green Lantern, and week one of me not seeing Cars 2. Apparently, Doug doesn't love movies. Doug has no interest in movies whatsoever. Just weeks are going by of not seeing any of these movies. The Tournament of Championships continues next week at the UCB Theater. I'll be having the final three competitors, including Mr. Sam Levine. And I've got shows coming up in Ventura, California, Cleveland, Ohio, Toledo, also in Ohio, Columbus, Ohio trifecta, Pleasanton, California. And for all of my tour dates, go to douglovesmovies.com. And here it is. Here's the part of the show where I bring you guys in. You did a great job of being quiet.
Doug loves water skates and jelly beans and ragmatag and Vaseline and cars and trouts and pearls.
We had to throw that version out because it was just like people prefer a show that's about one thing.
Wow. Loves groovies.
Groovies?
Groovies? He loves things that are groovy.
I messed up parts. Good.
You can cut it together.
Can we cut it together from that?
We'll cut it together.
You can cut it together.
Yeah, there's a lot of work done in post on this show. Cart. My guests today are two Hollywood super talents. That's what I wrote down.
Well,
wow. About you guys. Wow. Actors, writers, producers, authors. Robert Ben Grant and Thomas Ben Lennon.
Bon vivants.
Man about town.
I'm Jack, still here waiting for my introduction.
Jack, hang on a
Jack,
second.
Very well.
Jack of all trades.
Hang on, you Yenta.
And I spelled Master of Nuns, N-U-N-S, like as a porno movie.
Oh, my God.
Master of Nuns.
It's pretty good porno.
Jack of all trade.
Yeah, if you can master the nuns, you can master anyone.
You can catch a fly with chopsticks.
Who is this other guy?
Joining us, as always, on all the in-studio episodes, Yeah. All those, I know. It's all those eps we have. Sam the Mam Levine.
Aww.
A.K.A. Little Wolverine.
Thank you.
Nice.
He shaved, so he's not so Little Wolverine
right.
anymore.
That was all a one-shot deal, and you've been calling me that for several months now.
No, I know. It stuck.
I guess it did.
People love it.
Okay.
Little Wolverine. Yeah, we'll make a YouTube video of Little Wolverine.
All I know is he's a Cubs fan. He's a Bud man. We're going to get along. We're going to be best friends, I think.
Yeah, we are.
You guys just met just now?
No, we've met before.
Okay. Yeah. The best friendship hasn't kicked in yet.
Well, he's got on a pretty revealing pair of shorts for everybody.
They are very short.
Yeah. He's got some hairy legs.
He's bringing the Nut Festival to town.
They got the sweet spot right across from him.
It is like 1,000 degrees in the valley
yet
every day.
You notice I have long undershirt.
Four layers.
I'm going to take some off on your behalf.
You're working like the layers thing.
You were an Orthodox Jewish girl, right?
Yes, I am.
That's what I thought.
As you know.
Yeah.
I pulled a Hasidic guy over recently for cutting me off at an intersection.
You pulled him over?
I made a
citizens
pullover.
Huh.
Yeah, that's illegal, but I did it.
Huh.
Yeah.
Why did he respect your authority?
Well, because I literally pulled in front of him with my car and cut him off. And
So this is a hate crime?
No. This was just a crime. He cut me off at a stop sign that he didn't stop at.
Mm.
So I made a citizens pullover, and I gave him a citizens lecture. Which, by the way, Doug, is also illegal.
Why did you?
You're not allowed to lecture other...
No.
You're not allowed to physically hold people against their will and lecture them.
Yeah, no. That's assault.
This is felonies. Several felonies.
Yeah, assault. Yeah. Why do you think the guy isn't coming after you?
Oh, he probably is.
Because you were right?
I was right.
Yeah.
Did he learn his lesson? Did he say he learned his lesson?
He acted like he did, but I think he was goofing.
Every time I have to get a rental car, they always offer me the $30... a day extra insurance, mm-hmm. and they always make the same joke, and everyone thinks it's an original joke, but they make it at every car rental place. Hey, it's the drive it like it's stolen policy. Hey, come on, do whatever you want. We don't care. Mm-hmm. You can bring back a wreck. I want to do that,
okay.
And then when people make mm-hmm. bad driving mistakes that are going to hit me, mm-hmm. I'm just going to let them hit me.
Boom. Yeah. Here's the thing.
All day long.
Here's the thing about the extra insurance, and I know this is a movies podcast. I got all of the extra insurance one time. Mm-hmm. Then I basically totaled a Jeep.
Oh, this was in Hawaii.
On the Hana Highway, which is one of the world's most dangerous roads. It goes from Kahului to Hana. It actually goes all the way around Maui. It's a fucking insane road. Many places it's one lane. Sometimes you turn a corner and it's raining and it wasn't like a second ago. It's just crazy.
Yeah, that'll surprise you.
Yeah, it'll surprise the shit out of you. So I basically destroyed a Jeep that I crashed into a 10-ton truck on that highway. I had all the insurance. I was so psyched. I was like, oh, my God, I paid for all of the optional insurance. I did $5,800 damage to the Jeep. With all of the optional insurance that I paid for, how much do you think I paid?
$5,800
is exactly right. How single penny.
The optional insurance isn't good for anything. Never get it.
Why?
Never get it.
Why did they get around
here? The optional insurance is if you somehow launch the rental car up into a Zeppelin that catches fire and explodes.
Yeah, it says that. You initial that
killing
on the thing.
Thousands
Zeppelin, you initial
of innocent people in the city of Hamburg.
Mm.
There's no... The rental insurance does not help you. Ever. Don't get it.
And I stopped getting it a long time ago.
I
don't get it.
I think it's because whatever you sign was obviously in Hawaiian and not English.
Howley.
Yeah, they don't speak English in
Hawaii. Howley, you're the Howley.
In Hawaii.
All the locals laughed because you're driving around in a total Jeep.
Oh, they thought it was so funny.
Howley, hey Howley. Yeah,
how much car rental stuff is in your new book?
Mostly.
80%.
Because the book has movies in the title, so you get kind of excited about having some authors of a movie book come in to talk on a movie show.
Right.
And then you just
mostly
get sidetracked by car insurance
99
conversations because there's so much fun.
It's middle-aged guy
in fact,
rental agreement talk.
Once when we leave the show, we have to go actually do that show, Car Talk, in a minute. So
with Click and Clack?
With Click and Clack,
brothers?
The Tappert brothers. Yeah. So,
Doug,
I can tell
them.
By the way that you're looking at the book that you haven't read it yet. And
you just handed it to me.
I know. I wish I'd gotten you one earlier.
No, but it's like it's going to be out from now on, right?
Now
it's not a limited edition.
It's not a limited.
Did it drop today?
So
it drops July. What day is today in podcast land?
This is tomorrow, so July 1.
It drops 4 days from now, July 5th.
Okay, so this is perfect timing. You're a publicist.
So rest up over the long holiday weekend,
right?
Because come Tuesday, you've got some reading to do.
Easiest
line
way to remember is when
line up at the old
out,
Amazon.
Okay. When it's only 9 days from Bastille Day.
So that's very easy to remember.
How about this? Here's a better way. Day after the 4th of July.
Mm.
Okay. You think people will remember that?
International?
Do you think I got a better one. 2 days after Tom Cruise's birthday.
That's good.
Because he's born on the 3rd of July. Did you know that?
I did know that.
Yeah, his real last name is...
Mapother.
Wow. A hot room in here today. Not only are we kind of seeing Sam's balls and legs and nuts,
but they know their crews.
They know their nerdy.
We met Tom Cruise twice this year. We'll get into that later.
I've met him also, as well, and I have nothing but good things to say about him.
I have a man crush on him just from being around.
The second you meet Tom Cruise, I don't care how macho you are, you kind of think about having sex with him.
He has some sort of pheromones that come off of him that make you.
Yes, he's like he's a. He's like a star. He's like a but in the constellation sense, not in the
He makes you feel like everything's going to be okay. The second you're with him, you're like, oh, you know what?
Everything's going to be fine.
Everything's going to work out.
He's here.
Look at this big strong guy. Yeah. He's here and he's my friend.
And he could really bum people out because him being mean to you him being nice to you is fantastic.
It's a superpower. Yeah. He's using his for good.
Yeah.
He could turn that thing like a fight. Well, Matt Lauer, how must have that have felt?
That was horrible.
You don't want that power used against you.
Yeah. Poor Matt Lauer.
That power of friendship. And did you get a look at the biceps?
He works hard.
Cruise's biceps?
Yeah.
They're insane.
That's good.
That's the thing.
You can't jack him higher.
Maybe that's why he's nice to everybody, is because it's just great to be out of the gym.
Maybe.
Do you know what?
After 7 hours in the gym each day. Oh, human beings that are friendly and not going, ooh.
Eye contact.
Suri weighs 400 pounds. And he has to pick her up like 8-10 times a day.
That's true. Not a lot of people.
That's how he gets that.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot she is a super density baby.
Yeah, super density.
She's one of those density babies.
Man, those
her real father's actually a black
don't
hole.
Vaccinate your kids.
Her real father is condensed matter. They become super dense.
Yeah.
So the book is called Writing for Profit.
Yes. Okay.
Crossed out.
You missed one of the main words.
Movies. Yeah. There you go. Writing anything.
Yeah.
Are you going to do a sequel of writing poems for profit and fun?
You want to do another run at that?
Yeah, let me get another run at it.
We can put it together.
Writing Ben Stiller movies for fun and profit. No, his name slipped in there because his name gets right up on top.
It's so confusing. Yeah,
it's so hard.
In fairness, the quote he gave us is pretty.
These two guys are the reason Night of the Museum won so many Oscars.
Mm.
Actual quote from him.
Yeah.
We asked him for something nice for the book, and that's what he gave us.
Yeah, it's close. It's close.
No, it's pretty close to nice.
He should take some of the success for the Oscars that it won.
Yeah, it's true.
He should take some of the credit. Zach Penn, Danny DeVito, Jonathan Glickman, and Ed Helms all read this book, and Sean Levy. Fantastic. Sean is actually a director of movies you've written.
Yes.
The museum movies.
Perfect example.
Yes.
Yeah. Both of those. He's got a movie coming out called Real Steel. I don't know why I'm plugging it.
Yeah.
Let's get into the movies you're boycotting. You're boycotting a bunch of movies. I feel like there's certain times a year we could have a movie out that you would be boycotting.
Yeah, I think
in fact, I'm glad that you're not boycotting any of our movies currently.
Nothing to do with
pirates. You're boycotting Pirates, I see.
I can't even begin to force myself to do Pirates 4.
Cars 2 is
on my list of things I won't see because I didn't even like Cars 1 that much.
Right.
That's my least favorite Pixar movie.
I've never seen it.
I agree.
It's the only one I haven't really seen.
I agree with you.
Kids it's just like,
My nieces and nephews love it.
Kids are crazy about Cars.
I went to the Ratatouille premiere and got pretty drunk, and then in the Disney store on the way home, because it was at that Hollywood and Highland, you know, it was at the El Capitan, I bought a Remy doll.
Okay.
The talking Remy doll to give to, I don't know, somebody. But I was real drunk, and then I
slept. Give to a homeless guy or something.
Here you go, pal.
I was like, this is funny because it talks and you can whack it and it says like, Emil.
Yeah.
And then it forgot. So went to bed.
Add some salt.
Exactly. Went to bed so drunk.
Does it say add some salt?
Pretty much.
These little expressions that a little,
says,
little chef mouse would say.
It's just stuff. But it's Patton's voice. So then I went to bed. Almost like blackout drunk, because there's just red wine flowing at the Ratatouille premiere.
Of course.
Woke up at some point in the middle of the night with Patton's voice going, I've got to teach you about food! Forgetting I had purchased said doll.
Right.
And it was just legitimately disconcerting.
So you thought you'd hooked up, maybe.
I basically thought I'd hooked up with my friend Patton Oswalt.
Yeah,
after the Ratatouille premiere, and I'm like, wow, that's more wine than normal.
Yeah.
Patton thought it was funny to give his Ratatouille talking doll to his dog. So you get to, if you're over at the house, you get to hear Patton's doll screaming, you know, things like that while being
torn
limb from limb.
Yeah,
yeah, this needs
this
salt.
This needs salt.
Yeah, for some reason he's really on a salt thing.
That's like crazy.
Every other thing he says has something to do with salt.
Hypertension.
This
is
needs
terrible.
Salt.
So what's the
did anybody see salt? I heard they're not making Salt 2.
No, they are.
They are?
They are.
But is she going to be in it?
She is.
Somebody real quick, what's
that
the
movie
twist
was
in Salt?
So boring.
She's forgot she's a super
agent. The good agents were bad agents, and she was actually a good agent who was a bad agent who's now a good agent, but there are bad agents
that used to be so good. Bored.
Like, it's so...
I'm so mad at you already.
It's beyond convoluted.
It's convoluted and not in an even remotely interesting way.
Did they highlight the tattoo that's over her vagina during the movie at any point?
There's a 2.5 minute close-up shot of it where... Come Sail Away by Styx plays.
And you just
that's the credit sequence?
Mm-hmm. Wait, come wow. Sail Away. I feel like that should have been mentioned in some of the reviews of that film.
You know, it came about so naturally in the film.
Oh, you don't even notice.
You don't even notice.
It's so organic. Yeah, the storyline.
It's very, yeah. The movie's very the Dogma style or whatever. that one guy invented.
Lars von Trier?
Yeah, von Trier. It's like...
Famous Hitler apologist?
Not apologizing
just
at all.
I could do what he did or something. He was kind of saying that he's...
I believe he said, I admire him.
I admire him.
Yeah.
He has nothing on me. Not apologizing.
Yeah, because he admires Hitler's sway over people because he's forced to just do one actress at a time
But what you didn't know is he was referring to Michael Bay. Because he's a big Megan Fox fan.
Who isn't?
See, that's topical.
Who is it,
okay.
Who is it now that we know she got thrown off for calling him a Nazi?
Yeah. Spielberg was like, she's out.
Pulled the springs? That's a hell of a story. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's
pretty weird. Is the other thing that maybe she was just super annoying? Do you think that maybe there's a simpler conclusion? You know, Sherlock Holmes says when you've eliminated all of the impossible, whatever left, however improbable, is the solution? Maybe she was just really...
Did he say that right before or right after he got in the boxing ring?
That's right before he kicks that dude in the chest so fucking hard.
Chest.
What is with that Sherlock Holmes movie? Yeah. What does that have to do with Sherlock Holmes?
A, yeah. You're 100% right. B, I really like that movie. I can't explain it.
Because you have gay man love for that movie.
Yes, yeah. Look how
it's sinewy. It's a very sweaty, sinewy movie.
He's fighting that big dude and he's all sinewy.
And he's boxing. Yeah.
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 No, I've read every Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's Sherlock Holmes in that movie. He's moved on from solving mysteries about murder. He solves mysteries about what punch he's going to throw next. Yeah. I love those scenes. Donkey. Every time he describes everything he's going to do to the guy, and then he just does it.
Yeah. Solving mysteries with his fists.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're making a second one.
Yep.
My friends wrote it.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Once you get in sort of in the... You stop once you get deeper into the movie business, Doug. You'll stop making fun of as many movies because you find that you can't because you'll know someone affiliated with.
You guys
all
do
of
a
them.
Pretty good job though of being right. keeping being, it fresh and not having to, you know,
right.
recuse yourself from a conversation about.
Well,
like, we talked about those little Einstein dolls in Museum 2 and how horrifying that is. You can say stuff like that.
You'd be hard-pressed to find people that have a better perspective on their own careers than us,
which
is a lot of what the book is
about. Which is what the book is.
Yes.
May I read a chapter aloud?
Please do.
Recommend one, though? Why don't you restart with the introduction?
Rewrites. I can't even say the word rewrites. That's a bad chapter
I feel
to
like
read.
This isn't going well already.
It's like Barbara
They
Walters.
Love my script! Exclamation point. And I got fired? Question mark.
Oh, no.
Here we go.
This book sounds like it has a lot of twists
See how fast
turns.
I can read a
There's
whole
a
chapter.
Lot of twists
okay,
right?
buddy, go.
Here we go. I'm going to take my shirt off while this happens.
Okay, I've done one paragraph already.
Oh.
I'm just going to watch Doug read their book.
Well, he takes his shirt off.
So how much of it is, but how much is the movie, the book, how much of it is comedy and how much is really helpful?
It's all hopefully helpful.
It's all real.
Very true.
But told in a humorous way.
If you want to write big hit movies that make the studio tons of money and you slightly less, but still a bunch of money, this is the only book you ever need.
Now,
no screenwriting book is written by people who've written any movies.
Now,
have you ever noticed that?
I have a very important question. A very important question.
Yes.
Now, poker players, when they go to write a book, they will often hold back stuff.
Sure.
Because they don't want to give away all their secrets in the book.
We give away almost everything.
Is there anything we hold back?
No. The reason being, to get one movie made as a screenwriter... almost impossible anyway.
Oh, it's a miracle.
Yeah.
So
we're
doubling your chances of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is
half from impossible. Zero to...
Yeah. From 0 to 0.5 impossible.
Yeah.
Great. It's really hard to get one movie made. That said, I think everything in the book will help you a lot if that's something that you want to do.
Yeah.
And again, just so we clarify, this book is not to teach you how to write films that win awards.
has nothing to do with
films that play at the Angelica Film Center, or movies that we're not technically saying they're going to be good. We're saying you can write some big tentpole. It's how to write for the studios.
This is the way studios put movies together and have them written, and this is how to do it.
And mostly how to survive that process, which is slightly crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's certainly surviving that process is huge.
Yeah.
Because it's just, and I'm sure the book outlines that it's just, being told no all the time, and then the reasons for being told no for things they don't even make sense.
It's even weirder than you would think. Like, we have a big chapter in the book about how you should get excited. People who have written in the studio system for a while, you get excited when you get fired off of your script.
Because
that seems crazy.
That means it's moving forward. That means
they're spending more money and moving forward. It means your movie's way closer to going.
Because they put more money and hired a new writer.
The next writer might be way more expensive than you.
Yeah.
So it might be way closer to getting made. Because
they've sunk so much money into it, it has to happen.
Do you want that
eventually? Yeah. Do you cover arbitration in there?
Oh yeah, it's a very long.
As a whole, because you guys still get credit.
Yeah.
Is there something that you guys wrote a lot on that you ended up getting no credit for?
Sure.
Can you tell us it?
Sure, I'll say what it is. Like Starsky and Hutch. We didn't even ask because it would have meant arbitrating against Todd Phillips, who's a friend of ours.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's crazy, and it's like, why would you do that?
And he called us gentlemen and scholars. But we could have fought for that.
And it would have been. But then again, sometimes you need to weigh the
what's it worth?
What is that worth?
Another one, like Scooby-Doo 2?
I kind of
felt like you guys might have something to do with that.
I feel like we might have.
I thought your sensibility was in there.
Velma's Revenge.
I'm kind of stunned that we didn't have anything to do with Scooby. Didn't we just call it Scooby-Doos?
Scooby-Dose.
Yeah.
Arbitration.
We did 2 weeks on Gulliver's Travels they didn't use a word.
Because you guys were like, just make him normal size.
Exactly. That was our pitch. It was like, why? It's just a guy. He'll save so much money if he's just like a guy. Size
chapter
guy.
Is on arbitration is called Arbitration, or Who Wrote This Crap? You did, if you know how to arbitrate. That's the chapter 30 of the book.
I can't wait.
And it tells you everything about how.
Do you know an example of a great arbitrator, like somebody that got credit for it that maybe they shouldn't have deserved?
Well, it's really a war when you go into.
Yeah.
It's amazing. When you see the title page, when they finish a movie and it's done, they usually send out a copy of the script.
To everybody.
To all the writers that were involved, with everybody's names on it, and then what the suggested credits that the studio is suggesting are.
So the studio is the one that picks whose name they want on the movie.
Is putting out a letter. It says, here's who we think the credit should go. Now, keep in mind, the studio is always, always going to recommend for credit the people that they're in business with the most, who they have the most to lose with, because it's up to the writers and the guild
to then
fight it out. As to who actually gets credit.
But most time, the guild will just agree with whatever the studio said. It's an uphill battle to get them to change what the studio said.
If you are not on that list or you feel like you're, included in a weird way that you weren't supposed to be. We have another whole chapter about credits and how to read them because they're 10 times more complicated than you know. Like if there's an ampersand between your name or the word and, it means whether you wrote together or not, blah, blah, blah. But arbitration, you will very likely spend as much time or more writing the statement to the guild about why you deserve credit on a movie than you spend on the screenplay.
Yeah.
It'll take way longer. It'll be a much
more clever piece of work.
Is there a chapter in the book about, like, let's say if I saw a movie that I thought, oh my God, that was a piece of shit, I could have written that better asleep tonight?
By the way, everyone says that about every movie ever, so that's kind of a blanket policy. That's a very dangerous thing to say.
There's no chapter in there.
I could have written that better. That is what the internet's called.
Yeah. That's America.
There's a word
that's
for
what America
that's
does.
All
is
they
that,
say
we want to put in like an addendum for the next edition?
There is a chapter called Naysayers.
Which are the guys on the internet who said, I could have done a way better job on that.
Yeah. Right. Should I read it?
Well, the truth is they could. Let's be honest.
Well, then they should come out here and do it if they're such smarty pants.
The premise of our book is if you're
they're
so
pretty
smart,
talented. People who, it just gets wasted in the basement somewhere.
Right, comments on the internet are pretty sharp.
It's true. But yeah, it's that's the premise of the book is if you're so smart, you come out here and you do it.
That's kind of the premise. So we're giving you all the tools to help you actually do it.
You know how Robert McKee does the big story seminars?
Sure, $875 bucks for 2 days.
3 days.
Yep.
Go to the airport and he yells at you.
Yep, I slapped down my $650 bucks. But
that was a couple years ago then, because it's now $875.
Yeah, that's wildly expensive.
No. Sam haggled.
I did. My last name is Levine. Let's be honest.
Right. Have you checked out his IMDb credits?
I have.
Could you recite them to us?
No.
Story consultant on 2 Barbie films made for television in the 80s.
Klaus Barbie?
That's it.
Klaus Barbie.
But what I like is at his seminars...
That's not a joke, by the way. That's accurate. That is accurate.
The information, the pamphlets or what have you, if you want to read the website, it'll talk about previous students of the course.
Oh, sure.
And how they're huge.
200 Oscar nominations or something like that.
So I'm really hoping in the next edition of your book... You can also
We can make up fake things to support our case that we don't need.
How many Razzies have you guys won? Any?
None yet.
No. I don't think we have.
I know, it's weird.
Herbie Fully Loaded?
You would think it would, but no, I don't think it did.
I'm sure.
Because we would have gone, I assure you.
I'm sure we were not.
You know us.
Honorary?
Oh, no, we go. We're working on a lifetime achievement
Razzie. They have a screenplay category?
I'm sure they do. Of course they do.
But they probably don't break it up between comedy and drama, so it probably goes to some horrible drama.
We haven't quite qualified for that. I think at some point we'll get like a Coen Brothers Lifetime Achievement Razzie.
To the Razzies, yeah.
Well, there's certainly
our general contribution to the middle of cinema.
You know who swept the first Razzies? The Shining.
Really?
Worst director, worst actress. It swept. Really? Like the Razzies hated The Shining, and
they were off base on that one.
They missed it.
How far they've come from The Shining to
The Razzies? Most years are pretty accurate though.
But the Shining,
really?
Yeah, the very first swept the first Razzies. Yeah. Look it up.
But now, I believe it's becoming a thing. Like Sandra Bullock and Halle Berry actually picked up their Razzies. Mm-hmm. They went there.
Yeah, it's a new thing.
Well, didn't Sandra win her Razzie?
I'm sure Oprah said don't go
the
there. Yeah,
went all
there.
About all about Steve and the Blind Side.
Yeah. So she won 2 nights back to back.
She had an amazing year.
She had an amazing year.
To have the best and the worst,
highest and lows.
Yeah.
You guys could only dream of that, right?
Lifetime achievement. When one of us dies,
you guys have only had the best. You guys, so far in your career, you've only either had the best movie of the year or the worst one. You've never had a year with both.
No. Mm-mm. Yeah. And I don't know about the best one.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of what year you mean. That
was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really trying to think of what
I don't know if I asked you guys this the last time you were on, but do you have a favorite of your movies? I think I did ask you, and I just forgot what it is.
Those aren't my kind of thing. Oh, our movies.
Your movies.
Movies aren't your kind of thing?
No, our movies.
Oh, our movies.
They're not my cup of tea.
Reno turned out exactly.
I'm so proud of
you. Oh, yeah, of course.
I love Night at the Museum.
Yeah,
it's a great movie. I like a lot of our movies. Here's something I'll say. If you have not seen the scene in our film Taxi where Gisele Bündchen frisks Jennifer Esposito.
It's a good scene.
I don't think you've lived
a
full life yet. Put that on your bucket list.
Yeah, it's good screenwriting. It's good.
It is good screenwriting. It actually plays out exactly how we wrote it, which is it was a really erotic frisking, and then a cop leans in and is like, am I next or whatever?
I don't know if I've ever seen all of it. Like, I certainly never seen it in one sitting, but boy, when I'm flipping around and it's on TV, I'll watch it for a stretch.
I turned on the radio one day to hear Adam Carolla call it pound for pound the worst movie ever made.
Yep.
I just happened to be listening to Adam Carolla.
How do you even weigh a
and
movie?
I was like, was he just talking about, oh my God, I wrote that. The movie that Adam Carolla just called pound for pound.
Yeah.
One of the worst films ever made.
And I like Adam Carolla.
But you didn't direct it.
Yeah, and how many of your words made it in? I mean,
quite a bit.
It's pretty close.
It's pretty
did you guys see?
Doug.
You guys didn't come up with any of that crap.
It's worth it.
It's mostly us, yeah. That's
very faithful to our script.
Did you even have, Queen Latifah in parentheses after the character name? Was it your idea from the second you started writing it?
After Ice Cube passed? Yes, we did.
It was written for Ice Cube. It's based on
I didn't even know
movie?
Ice Cube was dead.
Yeah, it's, exactly. Yeah. It's based on a French movie, and the French movie...
Coco.
The guy who plays the lead has done prison time. How about Queen Latifah for that role? Like the lead
in the French
like
movie. Also, who's a fan of Marion Cotillard?
Oh, I love her.
Fully nude in the original French film Taxi. Fully nude.
Get out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, your movie's based on a French film?
Yes.
By Luc Besson.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, of course.
They made 3 of them.
Wait a second. Okay, but they made 3 Taxi movies?
In France.
Yeah. And which one was Marion Cotillard in?
She's in at least the first 2. She's the
With Christopher Lambert?
Yeah.
As I like to call him. Lambert.
He's a real scary dude. His name
That was Subway. I'm thinking of Subway.
Yeah. This Taxi. They're great. They're really good.
Luc Besson movies, if nothing else, are fucking cool to look at.
You see that one that was coming out with the mummy and the naked girl in the tub?
Oh, yeah, the time travel one. Yeah, that looked good.
What was that one called? Google that.
He's also got that Zoe Saldana movie coming out in September, I think.
He had a movie coming out that looked amazing about a mummy loose on the streets of Paris.
Did you ever see Wasabi? The one with Jean Reno, and he finds out that he has like a half Asian daughter, and he goes to adopt her, and like his bodyguard, her, everybody's trying to kill her, and she doesn't even know. Fucking great movie. Luc Besson movies.
So it's in the genre of The Professionals.
Yeah. But it's like this little tiny, like half Japanese girl. It's like the reunion movie with everybody in the world is trying to kill this little girl while he's protecting her, and she never even knows they're trying to kill her.
He makes some great films.
Great.
Yeah, we need more of those movies where everyone's just trying to kill one.
Right?
Little
God
girl.
Bless
the
trailer for his, that one with the mummy running around the streets of Paris, and there's a pterodactyl.
That was
loose.
Like a year.
Yeah, I don't know what.
Oh, Midnight in Paris.
It's not Midnight in Paris.
No, Woody Allen is in that, and he's
Owen Wilson meets all the great pterodactyls from Adele the past.
That's the one.
Talks to them about their poetry. What's it called?
Extraordinary Adventures of Adele Blanc-Sec. And the heroine, who's this kind of hot French girl, in the trailer.
Yeah.
You get to see your boobs.
Yeah.
It's a red band.
That's how they do things in France.
Yeah.
No, it's not a red band.
What?
It's an all audiences French
care.
Trailer
French.
Where you see boobs.
Yeah, that's great.
I challenge you, Mr. President.
Who are you talking to? Are you right?
Just in general. I challenge us to create a nation like that.
France?
Yes.
Where I'll tell
trailers,
you, I saw that.
Where you see boobs in trailers and nobody bitches about it.
Right.
They don't. They got a pretty good system over there, I think. No one gets a second look for having a drink in the afternoon.
I did a movie in France. Here's the thing at lunch. At lunch, because we're filming in Paris, there's no catering. You just go to a different restaurant.
Yeah.
They just like buy out a restaurant for the whole crew. Everyone, the norm, 2 glasses of red wine at lunch. Then you go back in the afternoon and you just like cut a page of dialogue that you'd never get to.
All right.
You're like, well, we're just not going to get.
French
we can't,
movies make no sense.
We can't turn around on the scene because, like, we just guys, this is pas de possible.
We're going to do that.
Pas de possible.
We're going to do that and nap.
No, it's pas de possible. Mm. Yeah, pas de possible.
What was the movie in France?
I should Leonard Maltin game it to you.
Oh,
that was a movie called Le Divorce. Kate Hudson, Naomi Watts.
Yeah, Kate Hudson.
I play the annoying American brother.
Oh, man.
Roger.
Hey, you were great in Cedar Rapids, by the way.
I go by real fast, Doug, but thanks.
Yeah, you're just in the beginning.
Yeah.
Until you're dead.
I go by real fast.
Yeah.
No.
Spoiler.
Are you boycotting Bad Teacher, too, or did you see that?
I haven't. You're in it?
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you something. Is Justin Timberlake in that movie?
Yeah.
Because all the TV ads don't show him. I know, I'm obsessed with it. They just don't show him at all. They don't act like he's in it at all. And I just wonder what the marketing decision was.
I saw him at the premiere.
Yeah,
he's there.
He's promoting it. Yeah, he talks about it.
He tweets about it.
Yeah, you see his face in print stuff.
I was surprised.
Really?
Yeah, he's way taller than I thought.
Did you have a little dance off with him? Show him some moves?
I got kind of a boner for a second.
From Timberlake.
Yeah, and then I realized this is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Not that, what's weird about
it?
It
might have been the dick in a box thing or something. I don't know. It's just a perfect storm.
Did you guys see Fast Five?
I did not.
Did not. Missed that one.
It's pretty entertaining. Sam?
I've seen all the previous Fasts.
Well, not that one. Let me tell you, you're going to have a great opportunity to see it. On July 25th,
don't say.
I'm going to be showing it at CineFamily in Los Angeles.
I'll be
That's
there.
That's a fun place.
And me and a few friends of mine will be sitting in the front couches there in the front of the theater with microphones, and we'll talk everybody through it. Because Fast Five is very entertaining if you don't mind being bored for stretches of time in between the very entertaining parts.
No.
So if we're sitting there cracking wise and pointing out how awesome like The Rock's performance is.
Yeah, helps pass the time.
It can be a lot of fun. I try to get somebody involved with the movie to show up, but I don't think anybody from Fast Five
has
a sense of humor.
Here's the thing. When you say to people, like, The Rock's a very funny dude.
Yeah,
and Vince
yeah but do you think he would want to sit there and sort of rib that movie, or do you think he's
I don't know,
just
man.
Pretty satisfied with it?
Maybe in a few years.
Yeah, maybe. But it's July 25th at CineFamily.
I'll go so far as to say, I think if The Rock heard that you were like getting your little friends together and shitting on a movie that he's in, I would avoid The Rock, in fact.
Yeah, maybe.
How does The Rock know?
We're not necessarily going to shit on him.
Right. So tiny.
The Rock's a big dude.
He's a big guy.
Yeah,
everybody's tiny when you're The Rock.
The Rock's really, really big
dude. He's a big guy.
I mean, he's really big.
Yeah.
His arms are like the size of my chest. He's huge.
You were going to say neck first, weren't you?
No, chest.
No, he's big.
Yeah.
He was going to say chest neck.
Chest neck.
It's the size of my chest neck.
Oh, We're also doing a movie thing. I'm supposed to mention.
Please, yeah.
We're showing Barton Fink and Sunset Boulevard, which will be fun.
Are you going to be riffing through those?
We're not going to talk over them.
We're going to watch them in silent respect.
Wow.
We're going to be on a butt ton of ecstasy.
Oh, yeah.
So that might be why we won't be able to say that much.
What's the theme? Two movies you love?
Is it screenwriting?
The glamour of screenwriting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Barton Fink and what else?
Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. New print.
Barton Fink is the most accurate movie about being a studio screenwriter that there is.
I would argue it's exactly what it's like to be a studio screenwriter.
You can't write a studio screenplay without fire mm-hmm. Raging through the halls of mm-hmm. the hotel. Because mm-hmm. that's what you guys do, right? You stay in this really sweaty hotel
every time you write something. You've been to that men's hotel.
It's nice.
We live in that men's hotel.
Bathroom down the hall. Nice fellas. Good people watching.
Really
nice fellas.
Really hot.
Hey, what do you guys think of? Could you work with Eli Roth? Like, could I set something up where he directs and you guys write Hostel for Dogs?
Yeah,
Hostel for Dogs.
Probably you think we can make that happen?
Yeah,
because I think he could bring the gory thing. No, you guys could bring the lighter touch that you want from a movie.
You don't
with
have
dogs.
To explain this yeah. to me. This is a very good idea.
We'll talk
this
dog
set up.
Stuff. It's good.
Yeah.
I was playing poker with Don Cheadle a while ago,
oh
and
my
I
God.
Asked him
fucking brag much.
I asked him about my Hotel God Rwanda almighty. For dogs, and I instantly regretted it.
You said Hotel Rwanda for dogs to him?
Yeah, I did.
He doesn't seem to be someone who would find anything funny about Hotel Rwanda.
Actually,
like,
no,
any play on Hotel Rwanda.
He gave me a very polite chuckle.
He did?
Yeah.
Here's the
very
thing.
Polite.
If you are ever in the Los Angeles area and you want to see the actual Hotel for Dogs, it's on MacArthur Park, and we shot Balls of Fury there too. It's a real place called the Park Plaza Hotel.
Yeah.
It only is for movie filming, and it's on MacArthur Park. And it is you'll see it and you go, oh my fucking God.
That's in everything.
This is the real Hotel for Dogs.
Isn't that the hotel where Nicolas Cage bashes that guy's head in on the steps in
I'd be shocked if it was not
in Wild at Heart.
Yeah, it is, exactly.
It's also, I played a cinematographer at a wedding in a movie called Conversations with Other Women, which shot there. I've never seen it. They love that huge staircase. When you first walk in,
there's a huge staircase.
Perfect.
The rest of the place is a dump, but
ton of dogs to run down.
Yeah.
You look at it and you're like, if this was filled with a bunch of scrappy mutts with no place to go, slammed up.
Did you guys do a couple days on Mr. Popper's Penguins?
You'd think we would.
No.
Yeah, where were you?
Where were we?
I don't know.
I would have thought you came up with have them slide through the Guggenheim.
I know. That's so our...
Yeah,
honestly,
we do.
That's right in our wheelhouse.
Yeah.
I almost feel like we should sue whoever came up with that because that's so our bit.
Yeah.
I'm stunned and flabbergasted. I'm sure that they meant... Maybe the call went right to voicemail.
My cell service is sketchy in my house, so they maybe tried to get us.
We're also going to do Piranha 3Ds coming up, but it'll be 2D because I'm against 3D movies.
Are you really?
Yeah, we're going to show that at CineFamily on July 31st. I'm sprinkling in plugs throughout the whole show.
You sure are, buddy.
There's a lull of the conversation, I drop in another plug.
I got up another plug then.
Please.
Wait, there's a car alarm going.
What's the date of your Barton Fink Sunset Boulevard?
Yeah, that's July 6th. July 6th. And the day before that, the day before that, July 5th, we're going to be signing this beautiful book, which, as you notice, there's a lot of boobs on the cover.
Who are those girls?
That's Ben's fiance.
My fiance, Kathy.
And that's
not a joke.
Not a joke.
And
all right.
That's the.
I'll try to look at the other side.
That's Irina Voronina, who's both our friend and Playmate of the Year from a couple years ago.
She's the topless girl from the.
Oh, did you ever see the Reno movie?
Yeah, she's topless.
The Russian girl was on the beach for the long time and has really beautiful boobs.
Good.
That she's obviously pretty confident about.
That's going back in my queue.
Oh, throw that back in the queue.
Go check that out again.
Yeah. What are we talking about?
You're
hating 3D movies.
The 5th, what time? You're going to be at Book Soup? Is that where?
Book Soup will be
there
on July 5th.
That's where all the signings take place.
Yeah, yeah.
It's tiny.
And we'll be there at, it's a tiny little place. So it's going to seem
packed. You get 20 people show up here. Like, there's no
room. Oh my God, that's awesome.
So you don't like 3D movies in concept? Do you not like old 3D movies?
No. I don't like that they, especially the ones where it's painted on afterwards. If it's not intentional from the beginning,
3D is bullshit.
That's terrible. But I also just don't want to wear the glasses. I don't want the upcharge. Right. I don't want any of it. I'm against it all. Like, it was a cute idea for a little bit, but now we can move on.
I'm fully against
movies again.
Retroactive 3D.
Right.
Retroactive 3D, I think, is stupid.
What about the Pixar ones? The Pixar ones are great.
Yeah, they look good. They have depth.
3D? You seen them?
Yeah, but those are retroactive.
Yeah, those are made.
Like, Clash of the Titans was a retroactive. That's not fair. Yeah. Don't do that.
Yeah, yeah, and Airbender.
We spent a lot of time. The new Harold and Kumar is 3D, and we spent a lot of time making it real 3D. I think it'll be worth it.
Well, then also, but then you can also, there's probably gags that are involved 3D. Like I thought Jackass 3D was fun.
See?
You know, so I'm not completely against it. I just don't want to regularly have to go and put on those glasses and pay the extra money. When, like, Thor, for instance, I saw in 2D, and I really can't be convinced I missed much by seeing it that way. Right?
I haven't seen it, but I suspect. Well, does the hammer come out? You saw it in 3D?
The hammer did. No, I saw it.
Does the hammer ever come out at you?
No. There was nothing really directed towards camera.
Nothing
that
really
I saw.
Comes out at
yeah,
you.
It's all,
right. It's all about, that oh, way. Look, you can see further back into the screen than you used to be able to.
You ever see House of Wax, that old 3D movie? Where they have literally a guy has a paddle ball that he does in your face for about 2 minutes for no reason. How about you, sir? And he does a paddle ball right at the camera. Fucking great.
You know,
they did that in Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Harold Hitchcock that I'm in, there's more like shit that comes right out at you. But there's a name for cinematographers in 3D, and they call them cookies. You know why? That stuff that comes right out at you? Because once in a while they're good, but too many of them make you sick.
Yeah.
This seems to be the motto about cookies.
I still just don't think they have it completely down. Like, I don't ever feel like, oh, that really almost just shot into my face. You know, I still always have that distance.
You probably think that the Harold and Kumar movie might change that.
I have a tendency to look the wrong way when I'm at the 3D movies. Mm-hmm. Like, I look at the back of the theater, so that also makes them less effective.
Yeah, that normal movies, that also will take away from it a little bit.
Oh, yeah, but again, it makes them like a radio play, though.
But I would also argue that any 3D movie, aren't we basically just going back to a play? Every play always was in 3D that ever was.
But did
until
they have,
you
but
turned
did
it into
have
a movie.
Gossett Jr. versus Jaws.
No, that's true. They didn't have that.
And when they paddleball in a play, I mean, unless you're in the front row.
If you have it's a really, really good seat.
Unless you're in a Gallagher section, it doesn't matter.
If you're really.
Did you guys see Midnight at Paris?
No.
No, I heard it's great. I'm going to see it this
it's
weekend.
It's very charming.
It is.
It's charming. I don't think
fantastic.
It's like, ha, ha, ha. Like, I didn't make me laugh much, but it's really charming.
There is one solid laugh at the very end.
Okay.
I don't want to give it away.
All right. But that's barely a reason to go to a movie.
There's plenty of little laughs. There's plenty of introspective laughs.
Yeah, it's cute. It's cute. It's very Purple Rose of Cairo, but somehow less satisfying than that one, I think. A little
here's
bit.
Here's something. Like, right around when the Sun Yi stuff happened, I started getting really busy in my life, and I started missing. I've missed about a decade of Woody Allen movies. Completely.
Yeah,
I've just missed.
Well, you haven't missed anything.
Yeah, you haven't missed
anything.
There you go.
Just very repetitive. And the ones
and
that
after
are,
that, it was. Like
but there was an era where he made, I consider to be, like, the four or five greatest films in the row. Because Hannah and Her Sisters,
great.
Husbands and Wives,
yeah.
Crimes and Misdemeanors,
Annie Hall.
There was a run that was insane.
Yeah. That was like early 90s. He was on fire.
Yeah, he was really on fire.
He had a nice run, and he also managed to. Each one was slightly different, but you were okay with how they had a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
But then he kept doing it, and he kept pulling himself out of it. Like, he's in his movies too, and frequently.
Was the last one I saw Bullets Over Broadway? It might have been.
Last one you saw? That's a long time ago.
That one
ago.
Was pretty
That's
soft.
15 like, years
that
ago.
Was
no, I'm talking
Cusack,
about a long time ago.
But that was it. But that
right.
Cusack, I'd say Owen Wilson is right up there with Cusack and maybe no one else in the ability to play the Woody Allen character well and not look like you know Will Ferrell in that one thing and
Will Ferrell, Melinda.
See, where have I been? I've missed all of these.
Yeah. He played the like really neurotic character. Or the worst one is in Celebrity with Kenneth Branagh doing it. That one's brutal.
I thought there was some funny stuff.
You see anything?
It's got some funny stuff. Leonardo DiCaprio's part is great in that.
Great, and I like that at the end of the movie you realize Kenneth Branagh, who's this like bitchy like film critic writer, wherever he is, he's like such a snob. Oh, he's a teacher or something. And then you realize he's working on a armored car heist screenplay is what he's working on. You're like,
perfect.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. That might have been the last one of his I've seen. I missed the hockey one and I missed the...
Was there a hockey one?
Curse of the Jade Scorpion.
Did you miss the one about the Angels?
Scorpion. Yeah. Like there was 9 with Scarlett Johansson.
Anything else? Actually, Match Point.
It's okay.
It's more than okay. No, it's a good film.
It's
engaging and interesting, but it's like it's not you know, it's not so amazing that Woody Allen should be making that kind of movie.
I demand an answer to my question.
Please.
Is Scarlett Johansson in a tennis outfit in?
Yes.
Yes.
That's why it's called Match Point.
What is the panty flash count?
17.
Oh,
there's 17 panty flashes?
You're never gonna, you just have to go Lost in Translation for
Scar
Jo if you want. a whole panty situation.
That's also like a time travel thing these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that movie's all right. You're right. It's good.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm just saying.
Not a typical Woody Allen.
This is what I was going to throw out and try to have a conversation about, but we're running out of time. But it's just that I just think that Woody Allen should maybe slow down a bit and make a movie every 2 years instead of one every 1 year, because they're all so, like, you know, they sort of feel like how podcasting feels to me now. You know, like if you listen to somebody's podcast every single week, it's got similarities, but there's differences. But if you like had to go out to a theater and pay to see it once a year, it might just be like, well, this is too much. Like, because as charming as Midnight in Paris is, it's just like there's echoes of so many other things that he's done that I've already seen, and it's not. It's so funny how you get stuck as an artist. Like, you want, people want you to grow, but they also want, they want what you do best.
Well, I heard him speak once, and what he said is he learns by doing it. Like, that he would rather grow as a director by just doing one every year, and they stay under budget, and they let him do anything he wants, and he just keeps going forward. And he admits himself that he hits hot streaks and cold streaks, but he doesn't learn by spending 2 years on it. He's like, well, let's put it up on its feet and see if it works. And
yeah, but I mean, it's like sort of the same thing as like if a novelist came out with a new book every year. I guess I don't know. I just feel like sometimes a little bit more time can help something.
Like Stephen King, it would have like hot streaks and then terrible streaks, and then he comes back with something.
We try to have
Dome.
2 and 4 movies a year come out.
2 and 4, and every one of them is painstakingly crafted.
You guys are like regular Natalie Portmans.
We're like regular old Natalie Portmans.
I feel like Natalie Portman.
Nothing regular about Natalie Portman.
Not like
sir.
One of them fancy Natalie Portmans.
It was like she knew she was going to get knocked up or something and said to her agent, all right, I want to shoot 8 movies in a row and have one come out every other month for the next 2 years.
And why did both of the chicks from Black Swan go out and make the exact same movie with Ashton Kutcher and Justin Timberlake? They both made the exact
same. That's really amazing.
Like, and they benefits and No Strings Attached. Really seem similar.
Did they not talk about that on set? Because that must have been on the works while they were doing the old Black Swan.
It was pretty weird.
It's kind of strange.
Yeah. Hey, let me know what it's like. You're fucking a friend movie. Mm-hmm. Let's trade notes on who's the better fake friend fuck. Mm-hmm. Timberlake or Kutcher.
Sort of super movie where all four of those friends fuck.
Oh,
the shit out of each
great
other.
Sequel. Great sequel. Oh.
It's like an origin story. We get the Kutch, Timberlake.
Remake of Bob and Ted and Carol and Alice.
Yeah, it's like an orgy. Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing.
Friends, orgy.
And
that's great.
And NC-17.
Yeah.
I mean, I want this thing to be. I want to see how this all
awesome
is.
You want to see some Timberlake?
I want to see.
You want to see some dick in a box?
Dicks in boxes.
Mm. Out of boxes.
That's good.
And out.
In boxes and then back out again. Yeah. Repeatedly.
I want it to be as weird as possible.
I want to see a dick in and out of a box.
Make that more clear, Doug, what you want.
Make that a really wet box.
And we're calling it No Friends Attached.
Pretty good.
Or Strings with Benefits.
Or Natalie Portman not attached to this feature?
I feel like Natalie and they're both going to pass, both the girls.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we'll have to recast.
Natalie Portman not attached.
That's why it's going to be a Dumb and Dumber where we find new guys who vaguely remind you of the stars.
Great.
Yeah. Oh, maybe Selena Gomez could be one of the girls.
And K-Fed? K-Fed? You can get K-Fed to show
K-Fed
up.
K-Fed'll do it.
Yeah.
K-Fed. I just heard that guy's name the other day, and I was just like, wow.
Yeah, that used to happen.
When giants walked the earth.
Because remember how, you know how when like somebody like that is so prevalent, and you like, you almost, you want to hate them into obscurity, and then it happens and you don't even notice. Yeah. Like then when you hear him again, you go, oh, wow. I sort of wish that guy away, and it worked. Yeah.
This battle of the world against him, we won.
Yeah, we totally won.
Now you feel kind of bad, don't you?
He had to just slink away and...
I loved him on CSI.
Had to learn to be a good dad.
Or whatever, whatever he was on was.
I bet he's not
documentation of that.
I can't prove that. I don't know.
Full-time
dad,
anyway.
Full-time bad dad.
I had an affidavit notarized.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to be a guest on the Taint and Teabag podcast being taped at 6 p.m. on Friday, July 15th at the Cap City Comedy Club in Austin, Texas. It's like $10 to get in. So, get on that, you guys.
Austin's
and,
a fun
I love Austin.
Austin's
we're
going to
be at the Alamo Draft House. This is the plug fest.
Yeah.
On July 9th.
July 9th. And what's going to happen there? Like
we,
a Q&A?
Among other things, are showing a secret piece of footage that we can't even announce.
Yeah, I can't even talk about it.
Yeah. Doing something cool.
Or what's it like? It's like a scene from...
have we said the name of the book? Writing movie
Green Lantern?
We did.
It's a secret screening of Green Lantern.
I tried to say it, but I screwed
which has
it all
been out in theaters for a while, but we're going to show Green Lantern.
Right. Show some Green Lantern DVD extras.
We will be dancing around on the stage in skin-tight Green Lantern outfits during the entire screening. So it's just...
That gives it... That's the 3D I'm looking for. Yeah. You don't have to wear the glasses. is, no. But there's some depth to
it's
it.
It's a little bit like a Cirque du Soleil show with just two dudes who's dancing around. You can see.
Yeah, it's our interpretation of Green Lantern.
Green Lantern. Yeah. We may not even show the film. In fact, I'm thinking.
I feel like the film takes away from what we're doing
up in front of the stage.
That's gonna be really fun. So I'm sure go to that if you're Austin. In we'll Austin. Go to that and then come see me like 6 days later. We're gonna miss each other by a few days.
Oh, and I'll be at the UCB Theater on Tuesday, July 5th, with Doug.
That's right. He's
that's
gonna
where
be
you can see me
in
next.
The third round of the Tournament of Championships. It's very exciting. Sam has to go head to head with a very, very strong competitor.
Oh, Jesus. It's going to be a bloodbath.
You guys know filmmaker Edgar Wright.
Sure.
Mm. He knows quite a bit about film.
Sure.
And Sam has to compete
against
him.
Playing the Leonard Maltin game, or which one you're playing?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I won that last time, by the way. Kind of by default, but
you won by making round. Other people guess, right?
I won by causing others to lose. No, I did. There was one thing that I accidentally did.
That's how you win, usually.
Yeah,
that's
a good way to win.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Leonard Maltin, just so you guys know, I was having a lovely conversation with him about a week ago,
mm-hmm.
and he is a huge fan of Viva Variety.
Huh. Oh, wow.
Monstrous fan. Oh, Could not rave more about that program.
Oh, that's
pretty
fascinating.
Sure
that's
cool.
Any of your recent work.
I don't know. Oh, you
I'm
guys.
That was our peak. That was like 97.
He was not. I mean, I don't say he didn't say anything. He was quite vocal about not liking anything recent.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But Viva Variety for him is where,
96.
Is where you guys got him.
I tend to agree.
Yeah.
Oh. I tend to agree.
Which of your films do you think Leonard Maltin would dislike the most? Like, which one would he give the
Taxi.
Bomb rating
Taxi,
to?
Number one.
Taxi's got to be it.
I'm
right?
pretty sure just last week he accused me and everyone else in Bad Teacher of mugging.
Really?
Wow.
No, I'm thinking, this is last week.
Yeah,
this
okay.
is not ancient history.
Yeah.
So
he accused you by name?
He said people, it said it reduces people like me and John Michael Higgins to mugging. I'm pretty sure.
So he cited two people that he likes.
Right now. Yeah, wow.
All of these characters are played broadly.
Are you looking
forcing
at that
people
teacher?
Like Lucy Punch, she's mm-hmm. great, John Michael Higgins, Thomas Lennon, and even Justin Timberlake mm-hmm. to mug as if this were a bad high school play.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
That's last week's.
So only Diaz and Seagal as gym teacher got to be sly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Why did you slip a little sly shit in there, Tom?
Why didn't I do any sly shit?
Why would you
I did,
sly?
It's on the cutting room floor.
They used the mugging enough.
They used all my mugging and my sly shit.
I was, you would I mug was on your way to something sly.
I'd go up to Jake and I'd be like, hey man, I'm gonna give you a sly one now.
Okay, good. Start with
mugging.
Say
great. That's okay.
And then do the sly afterwards.
Right. Yeah. Turns out they're not even rolling when I'm doing
some
of my sly
do
stuff.
A few sly takes after we wrap for the day. Do those at the after party.
I'll be honest, I have a feeling like Leonard Maltin
hates our work.
Hates most of our work.
Yeah, I would think.
Guys,
yeah.
he loves your variety.
Except for
I can't stress this enough.
So you got that going
for the part that no one can find.
Let me look up the Reno movie.
Great.
Let's see what he Leonard says.
By the way, probably our finest work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And hated by the interweb.
If I had to guess, I'd go 2.5 stars.
How do you get to him so fast?
It's I just call him.
There's an app, yeah.
I just text him and go, Leonard.
Quick.
Reno 911, Miami. What do you think?
He was the film critic and the pilot for the state.
No, sorry I brought it up.
No, what do we got?
Oh, no, he hates
it. He gave it 1.5 stars.
Yeah, let's hear it.
And he said, if you've heard of Comedy Central's inept crew of cops and are curious to see if they might be subject for your coming master's or PhD thesis, what? This off-the-cuff feature, without the cable commercials to keep their bits aptly bite-sized,
mm-hmm.
will serve as an intro. So they're saying if you're going to write mm-hmm. a thesis mm-hmm. or a
this
master's on
this is
the place to go.
Again, I recommend it. Right now,
the Reno
agree.
Sheriff's Department in mm-hmm. Miami for a convention is called upon
blah, blah,
to
blah.
Protect the mm-hmm. city when
don't
the regular
the plot.
Cops are quarantined.
Reviews, I don't even count these.
Well, at least he's saying like
no,
if he doesn't, if he hates it, he sometimes skips over the plot. So slapdash film never saw mm-hmm. a fat joke or masturbation joke it didn't like.
Fat joke.
Fat joke? What fat joke?
Do you think there's any fat jokes in it?
Oh, Renisha's booty, but that's not
fat. That's
not
fat? She's just...
That's just like Night Magazine. That's like King Magazine.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
not fat.
Fat
yeah.
joke.
Huh.
Fat joke.
But here he says
no,
by the way,
nice.
He's
there's
tons
one masturbation scene. Yeah, there's the one big masturbation scene.
Yeah, you're not going to argue the masturbation
that's
point.
That's an opera of masturbation.
Yeah, it's one...
It's a reason to see the movie.
3-minute scene of masturbation, yeah.
But he says cameos by Paul Rudd and especially Dwayne The Rock Johnson are funnier than most of the rest.
Mm-hmm.
co-produced by Danny DeVito, mm-hmm. who also appears.
Mm-hmm. Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if he's given that 1.5 stars, I don't think he likes much of the rest
no,
of our work.
No,
both of you get listed top. In the cast, though, because they only list 8 names you both
including
made.
Including
we made it, guys.
Some of the mugging that I do.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to do some sly shit for
when,
him.
When is A Guy Thing going to open?
A guy thing comes out.
That's a terrible joke. That's a terrible, mean thing to say. Me, I've been in films no one even knows, and I just, why did I do that?
That's okay. When you're at my level, it's fine. You get stuff like this.
Yeah, you wrote a book. You're fine. You can take a couple shots, right?
From people like you.
Okay, great. Mm.
When you're at a level.
Yeah.
Great.
People hate the terrible things we do, and people hate the great things that we do. Like, Reno's great. Fuck you. You know,
I loved Reno.
And people despise, it's as soon as you raise your head and do anything, people on the internet attack it.
What'd you think of the trailer for Reno?
The Reno movie?
Mm-hmm. I wish it hadn't killed all the jokes.
Killed a lot of jokes.
Like, yeah. I wish, and we begged to take the alligator out.
Yeah.
Like, that, and to us, the rest of them were fine, but the alligator were like, oh, don't take.
But it's a hilarious trailer that when you see the movie, there's a really good buildup to some of those moments that is spoiled quite a bit.
They showed pretty much everything.
You don't really have that much of a say when it comes to marketing.
No,
I know. It's crazy. And it tested through the roof and killed.
It was one of their best testing trailers, like,
ever. Yeah, because it's a laugh out loud trailer, but, you know, that's how many times in the history of movies has that really worked to show like the absolute funniest moments in the trailer? And
well, especially when like Reno, it's structured like sketches with the punchline at the end of each sketch.
Yeah, yeah. You guys had really solid punchlines.
It was a clip reel of the punchline.
Yeah, it was a clip reel of the punchline. Pretty much. Yeah. We asked them.
Except for some of the masturbation and tons of the fat jokes.
And fat jokes.
Fat jokes.
Fat jokes.
I think you must mean Renisha's butt. You know, that butt costs $25,000.
Do they show it a lot?
No, she
once
walks
on
by
the beach.
One time.
Yeah, one shot on the beach. Yeah.
She, that's a fat joke. We had that made. It was very expensive.
Yeah.
And a lot of fun. Oh, and our friend Dave has it in his basement.
Which is weird.
If you ever want to come over and play with that.
Play with Renisha Williams' $25,000
ass. He might have been thinking about like one of the big Mama's House movies or something.
In fact, there's a ton of overlap.
Yeah, Big Mama's House. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, you learn from that film every time you watch Big Mama's House.
I'm still kind of recovering from that. What do you have against A Guy Thing? You haven't seen it. You have seen it.
I saw it on an airplane.
In the 80s? When? You were flying? You were old enough to fly when A Guy Thing came out?
I'm 45 years old.
Oh, okay, there you go.
I look fantastic. I saw most of it on an airplane.
Okay.
Wait, that was some sort of burn on him when you said, when's A Guy Thing coming out?
Yeah, because it didn't do
very
well.
It didn't have a theatrical release or a slight one?
Here's the problem when you make a joke like that with me. Yeah. I've been in so many movies and written so many movies that didn't do that well at the box office. You need to clarify jokes like that.
You're right.
And
you're
like the point of what you mean by them. Because I've done a lot of them.
I was just bringing it up because it did not perform well at the box office, and you've had incredible success since then. So I felt at this point...
And enormous failure.
You know, they
but
go hand
but
in
I'm
hand.
In it. But I'm
for bottom every, line is you'll always have two, 17 again. That's
for every
all
Hangover
that 2,
Todd has his School for Scoundrels. Let's be honest.
This is getting too heavy.
I didn't see School for Scoundrels.
Yeah, yeah.
I did. I think I did.
I don't think I saw it.
No.
But they go hand in hand. Tell me, name me a director other than Cameron who every time out of the box, it's a huge.
Wait. Which Cameron?
Crow or James?
Or Kirk?
James.
Is it
James?
Kirk.
James
Cameron. You're holding James Cameron up as the guy that every time he knocks it out of the park? Is that what you're saying?
In terms of box office success.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Not critical success.
I mean, but even so, you could argue that what was that cave thing he just did that didn't do much business?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right, yeah. And was Terminator his first film?
But did he direct the cave thing?
No.
Okay.
Sanctum?
Yes.
Rectum?
Damn near killed him.
Sanctum? I didn't even know him.
If you have dodgy credits on your resume, that means you've actually done something.
Yeah.
The people without any dodgy credits on the resume are people who have not done shit except serve lattes.
Yeah. Get those dodgy ones thrown in because it's just a...
That's part of
it's
the...
It's collateral damage.
Yeah, win every time.
It's part of the process.
Yep.
Absolutely. But what's your worst thing, Sam?
Oh, my God. There are so many. Like, I would say virtually every film I've been in, with the exception of Inglourious Basterds.
Has been bad.
Has been. Well, I don't say bad. Not Another Teen Movie did well at the box office, and people seem to like it.
It launched Kyle Cease.
He's the slow clapper. But Pulse. No one even knows that movie.
I know. It's
Sydney
it's a
White.
Shame.
There's another one nobody knows. Yeah.
All right.
I was a voice in Wet Hot American Summer.
That's really awesome.
I like to take that with
A little bit of pride.
These guys would have been in that movie if they'd known anybody involved.
If we knew anybody involved.
Why didn't you know anyone involved?
Yeah, it's weird.
We were on the wrong coast when they were doing that.
We were doing something when they were doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
You're doing Viva?
It was also before. It was before the state had kind of like, you know, put
dissolved. Yeah,
yeah. The state. Well, the state. We. It was complicated. The state's like a. You know, we're a very dysfunctional. The state never technically broke up. But we've had our ups and downs, and we have, you know, like the way that people describe the police, you know, sometimes the band, mm-hmm. they had issues. And the state, when the state broke up, there was tons of issues. It was not like, I mean, when we had that, you know, the collapse between
CBS,
MTV and CBS, like it was very tense, and there was tons of interpersonal stress and drama.
Well, yeah, 11 people, right?
Mm. Yeah, and it was not, you know.
That's really like, deep. Can you imagine any one season of Saturday Night Live sticking together for their whole careers? You know, that big of a group, and
we got together in 1988. In fact, the first time the group was all together is we put everybody in the Reno movie.
That was the first state reunion.
Was all actually together.
Every single person's in it.
Yeah, that was the first. Mm-hmm. That was the first genuine state reunion since mm-hmm. the state breakup.
Then everybody from the state was in. Then subsequently, everybody was in the 10.
Yeah,
right. So then we've started now doing more, and then we did some live shows and stuff. So
that's cool. It's fun, right?
This being in the state.
Yeah.
Never.
No, it was a nightmare.
Never.
And it's
never
still a nightmare. Fun. And every like 5 years, we're like, you know what? We're all good friends. We get along. Let's do something together. And then after one fucking hour in a room, we're like,
it's like,
why
oh my God,
fuck?
I'm going to fucking kill you.
Why did we start doing this?
What about the Reno cast? Does everybody still get along, or did everyone always get along?
We had a really good reunion show
at
Sketchfest, and we brought Carlos back as the ghost of Garcia.
And
it was funny as shit. It was great. Yeah, it was really funny.
How was Niecy's wedding?
We were there.
Really.
It was
really
only 2 hours for you at home. For us there, it was about eight.
At about hour 7.5, I had to split because we had a babysitter, and we'd been there for a really long time.
And did a guy walk down the aisle with the Steadicam and say, "Okay, I'm Niecy. Wave,
they did
applaud,
a practice
wave,
run so they could get coverage of people looking at them. I shot that on my camera phone, on my iPhone. So I have the entire...
Oh, you got to put that out somewhere.
I know, I'm thinking about it. Although I signed some kind of release.
We sign a 6-page release to go to a wedding.
Oh, yeah. As soon as you pull up the wedding, they take a Polaroid picture of you and staple it to the 6-page contract that you sign. You know,
it says I'm not going to tweet pictures of whatever.
Wow. Yeah,
very surreal. Yeah.
Well, it also just gives them the rights to your image for in perpetuity throughout the universe. Yeah. How was the wedding? Did you see it?
No,
it was lovely there. Yeah, it was a nice time.
Yeah, I only even know what happened because you tweeted a picture on the way to the wedding.
I did, and then I tweeted a picture of us with Niecy at the wedding. Oh. She looked pretty good.
Oh yeah. It was, and the actual wedding was really
beautiful.
Funny. And that it was filmed by helicopter was a little surreal.
Yeah. And there was a techno crane and like cameras pretty much everywhere.
Glad I opened up this can of worms.
Yeah,
it was a good time.
Thanks, Sam. Mm-hmm. And while I'm thanking Sam, I have to thank him for what he does when he comes on the show in the studio version is we play the Leonard Maltin game, but I get to play the game, mm-hmm. and Sam runs it.
Oh!
It's very exciting.
Like a taskmaster.
I love it. Are we doing one?
We are.
We're going to play. That's what we'd like to do now.
The Leonard Maltin game.
I know you guys said we have plenty of time, but I'm trying to keep it, you know.
Right now.
Trying to keep it at a reasonable length.
What we'll do is
Sam will give you who you want to start with.
Well, have you guys both played the game before? You know how
they have. We'll have to kind of walk them through it a little bit.
Yeah, refresh.
Okay. Eight names or whatever,
and you say I can name it in two actors.
Yeah, we played around in a circle.
Go around.
Do we know the category?
Yeah. I'm going to give you the category.
One
three categories to
goes
choose
first
from.
And gets to pick between three categories.
Doug, I'm going to start with you, just so we can help get things rolling.
And we're trying a new thing where we used to have. I want to try a new thing where the people have to pick which year it is, but I want to eliminate that step for a second and see how that plays.
Okay. All right, now
you think it's a mistake, Sam?
I do. I think it gives
the year helps a lot.
The year helps tremendously, and I know you are admittedly bad with years.
I'm bad with years, so
and I know you're just trying to get your playing field.
It's
too wide.
But also, I'm thinking of getting rid of it because we play it out on the road where we get people from the audience and they play against one of my comedian friends. Mm-hmm. And that extra stage of having to go through and saying, what year do you want? It slows it down and gives more time for people to yell out random stuff because everybody's got an opinion what year you should pick.
Right.
Stuff like that.
69!
So I want to try it. 69!
I'll tell you what. One of my categories is movies from 1984.
All right, but here's another wrinkle.
I love it.
Yeah, that's a good category name, I think.
There you go.
But here's another wrinkle that people have been throwing around, and I think we should try it, is that each round we turn around the order it goes in, so you don't get the same two people having the same situation happen back to back.
To add more wrinkles, should we all play with our balls out?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That might add too many wrinkles.
Collagen.
In my case.
Okay, I just got collagen in my balls this morning. Okay, so not a wrinkle.
Be as wrinkly as
not a wrinkle there.
But okay, yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I know exactly.
So
what
we'll talk. We'll talk it through.
Okay. Movies from 1984.
So movies from you can choose from movies from 1984.
I have two categories to pick from.
I know you like movies with a state in the name, so I'm going to give you movies with a country in the name.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow, you mean like Denver?
Like Denver, that famous country or state, Denver. And as it is his birthday today, Vincent D'Onofrio movies.
Oh.
Okay, I know I've never seen one of those.
So, there you go. Fact. There you go, Doug. Movies from 84, movies with a country in the title, or Vincent D'Onofrio?
I'm going to go with movies with countries.
Movies with a country. Okay, now, do you want years or no?
No, that's what I'm saying. Let's skip the year.
Skip the year. All right, so then I'm just arbitrarily picking a movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, here we go. Leonard called it. He gave it 4 stars.
Uh-huh.
Leonard really likes this movie. He called it heart-pounding. He says it scores a bullseye. And there's no music score as the story tension propels the film by itself along with solid performances. And there are 8 names.
What's the category again? Countries?
Country in the name.
Country in the title.
Solid propelling?
4 stars.
4 stars.
4 stars.
Wow.
Or country in the title.
Well, so there's 8 names, so Doug's got to make a bid.
All right, yeah, so I'll start the bidding with 8 names.
8 names, all right. Tom, you want to bid 7?
Yeah, I'll go 7, sure.
Okay.
Country.
Six.
Do you want to go 6?
Yeah,
no
six,
music.
6.
Back to you, Doug.
5.
It's going 4. To 5.
I'll go to 4.
4 names. Now we're at half the field.
I like my position now.
No, you're in a good spot.
All right, so you can either say 3 or fewer, or tell Tom to name the movie.
3 is going to get tough.
Three, I'll say it.
Wow,
yeah,
it's going for 3. Doug, what do you say?
Country.
4 stars.
I have to say, name that movie.
No, all right, all right.
No score.
It's all right.
No all right, score.
Robert. Here we go.
You're going to get 3 names.
You're going to get 3 names.
No score.
Your 3 names are James Caron, Wilford Brimley, and Peter Donat. Heart pounding. Scores a bullseye. No music score as the story tension propels the film by itself along with solid performances. 4 stars. James Caron, Wilford Brimley, Peter Donat.
No score.
None.
That's a mother of a clue.
Here's, I will say this. If I gave you the year, if I gave you the year, I feel like you'd know it.
Really?
Yeah.
Really interesting. Mm. I'd like to. We'll have to play that out then when it comes down to that.
Okay. I always wondered if it was Donat or.
Yeah, I don't know. Donat. I've never heard it pronounced.
Peter Donat.
Donat.
Yeah.
D-O-N-A-T.
Donat. I think it's Donat.
Donat. Okay. Donat.
Whatever it is. Good actor in a movie.
Yeah.
In a movie with no score. You have any idea?
No score. I have no idea.
Yeah.
All right. So give us the year.
I've heard you. I'm going to say the year.
See if
year's 1979. Anyone?
We should all know this.
We should all know this. No score.
Country in the title. Country in the title.
Oh, yeah.
No score. Heart pounding. All right, I'll give you another name. James Hampton. Scott Brady. Michael Douglas.
China Syndrome?
That is correct.
China Syndrome doesn't have a score?
No score.
There's no music in that movie?
That's impossible. Okay, I guess there isn't.
I guess there isn't.
Wow. Now, I didn't rewatch the movie. I'm just telling you what I got from
the China Syndrome
review.
Has no score?
I'm curious to see that. Watch that now.
Yeah, but I think all that stuff in the when Jack Lemmon's flipping out in the control room, I think that there's no dramatic music. It just happens.
Wow. It just happens in like real time.
But the movie's got to have some score at some point.
It may. I'm just telling you what's in the review.
Yeah, yeah. How does he phrase it?
He says there is no music score as the story tension propels the film by itself.
That made me think it wasn't like a studio movie.
Yeah, I know, me too.
Yeah, just something really weird. What movie doesn't have a score?
Sorry,
Pepsi Syndrome.
Oh, it was so funny.
Jimmy Carter.
Oh, we thought this was funny.
That was a great
guy with Garrett Morris.
Kiss him on the lips.
Yeah, because they got turned giant. Him and Garrett Morris.
And do you remember Davis, Franken and Davis, as the mimes that are miming to the press? What happened? A nuclear meltdown. And the press is like,
this
excuse me,
well,
aren't mimes not supposed to talk?
Yeah.
Yeah,
great sketch.
Reads on podcast.
The Pepsi Syndrome.
Yeah.
Pepsi Syndrome.
Yeah, it was really that was really funny.
Okay, well, you get the point, Doug.
I got a point. It's great for me. It's just by making him name it, because I that no score thing. That's no a score. That's confusing as all. Yeah. I like it. Right. Okay, so now here's the twisty turny thing. So yeah. Tom wasn't involved, so he gets to pick first this time, and we go around this way.
And
okay,
just to add a couple wrinkles. Here's these guys.
Here's those balls. Here's those balls. Finally,
wow. There's a couple wrinkles for you.
One is so much larger than the other.
Henry, I call him Henry Wrinkler.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
And he calls the other one Kelly Pickler.
Yeah, nice.
All right. So I'll give you three different categories. You can choose from movies my dad likes.
Mm-hmm.
That is a great
dad. Sam's got a weird dad.
Your father.
Okay. Yeah, my father.
Let's move past that.
Movies he likes. You can choose from a title I'm calling Me and You, which is the name of the film is Two Names.
Two Names.
And possibly other words.
Of course.
But at the very least.
Yeah. We're probably going with that.
Okay. Yeah. And then there's movies with a single letter in the title. It's not, it won't be.
Sure, like M.
Like M, sure.
I get it.
M Works or iRobot or Easy A. I didn't go to because those are. Those A or I could be, so it's it's not one of those letters.
V is for Vendetta.
Mm-hmm.
Could be one of
could
them.
Could be one of them.
I feel like we could be one of them.
I feel like, yeah,
right,
if could we keep
be.
Going.
Yeah. Could be. Okay, yeah. So those are your choices. Me and You, movies with a single letter in the title, or movies my dad likes. Okay,
let's
me and
go
you.
The ampersand category.
All right,
so and it's two names in the title.
It's at least two names. At least two names. It
could be Bob and Ted and Carol and Alice.
Could be.
Your four names
you already mentioned.
So we're not doing years, right? Because I guess we didn't do one before. All right.
Just pick one.
Okay.
Friends
Let's
on
play
strings.
It.
What are we doing?
Friends on Strings is the category.
Right. But Tom gets to bid first.
Just picture a bunch of dicks tied to strings and everybody's kind of leading each other around the room. Yeah. Like an Eyes Wide Shut thing.
Friends, yeah.
You know what I'm talking
Friends
about.
Friends on Strings.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Dicks on Strings would be a better title.
String Buddies.
Yeah.
We're into yarn and fucking.
Leonard liked this one as well. He gave it 4 stars.
Wow.
4 stars.
4 stars from Len.
He called it delightful.
Chintzy.
Mm-hmm.
And he says the film has many memorable vignettes.
Mm-hmm.
And it won a bunch of Oscars.
I can name it in zero.
Whoa!
You were going to get 11 names.
11 names.
11's the total.
But he's saying zero with no year.
If it won a bunch of Oscars?
Won a bunch.
And it has an and in the title?
Yeah.
Can I try it?
No.
Wait, hang on. You can make your bid zero, and then it goes
over to me. Now I can either go negative names, or I can so zero names, or I can say. I mean, I can.
I won a bunch
names.
Of Oscars.
A
I
bunch.
Gotta go negative names, or
I'm paraphrased. He listed all the Oscars at one. I'm not going to list them all. I'm just telling you, it won a bunch.
I feel like I
you called it delightful.
Mm-hmm. Well, you bid
don't
zero
talk
names
this through. You'll
so,
give it away.
Yeah, so right now, it's,
he says zero names. Zero. So now it comes to me, and I have to say name it.
Okay.
Because I can't go negative names because I'm not even sure what it is. I have an idea.
I feel like. Do I guess now?
Yeah.
I feel like it's Harold and Maude.
I'm sorry. No,
that's earlier, right? It wasn't Harold and Maude.
I didn't give him a year.
We don't know the year.
No year. Yeah.
Wow. So you really took a stab at it.
I thought with lots of funny vignettes.
Yeah.
And it stood out.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I've won a lot shot. Of Oscars.
I'll be honest, I've won and lost the Leonard Maltin game, and I've never received any real prizes, so it doesn't really matter to me.
Oh, yeah, but there's nothing really on the line.
Yeah, I know. So I just thought, fuck it, I'm going to take a stab.
Yeah.
Well, now you guys get to still play, right?
Actually, Doug just won the game.
It's been called incredibly low
and,
stakes.
And for
game.
The, I'm running almost perfect on this.
Mm-hmm.
It only takes two titles for someone to win or lose this game every time I host it.
Yeah.
Which I always enjoy.
You run a strict game.
I do.
So what else can we do to play with this? Can
I'll
you
tell
give
you
us
the
more
year.
Names?
I'll tell you the year.
Year.
1969.
Mm-hmm.
69.
11
names. Delightful.
Here we go.
A lot of Oscars.
Here we go. Christopher Lloyd.
Ooh.
Kenneth Mars.
Wait a second.
Ted Cassidy.
Hang on a second. Stop. Stop saying names. It's Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
That is correct.
Ah, there's a good and. Yeah.
Nice. And also, but that also is a good. That threw me off a little bit because I was thinking of two
like
first names and
Stanley
not
and
full names
Sorry,
like that.
Yeah.
Full
name.
I know.
I was thinking like Thelma and Louise.
I know because
that was delightful.
That was delightful.
I was also thinking Melvin and Howard was a possibility, but I don't think that. Won
I don't think that
won
anything.
No, did not win any Oscars.
But that was smart play. Yeah. So you picked a category and you started coming up with ones that it could be, and then the clues didn't help. Let's play for more for fun though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to try movies with
Let's play for a couple more minutes.
Here, let's try movies from 1984 cuz there
Great.
The year's done.
Great.
There, we got the year out of the way.
Can I guess right now before you give any clues?
Yes.
Oh, that'd be fun if you just
Ready?
Got it. Then
Go ahead.
Super win the whole game.
Brazil.
No, that was in movies with a country in the title.
Okay. Yeah, of course it was.
I believe it also came out in 1984.
I think so, yeah.
No, it was 85.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Stand correct.
Was Cuba but in that time, in that category?
It was not. And the only reason I know Brazil was 85 is because I prepped it yesterday.
Oh, nice.
I would not have known that offhand.
So I take myself out of this
round. Was Africa in there?
I was already wrong. No.
Okay,
Africa
so,
is not a country, just like Denver is not a state. Jesus.
It's hard. It's hard. Geography's hard.
Countries are hard.
Countries are hard.
All right. Movies from 1984. He gave it 3 stars.
Oh, wait. We're starting with Ben.
Yeah, we're starting with Ben. Okay. Started with 3 stars. And he called it engagingly offbeat, even subdued at times. Great fun all the way, followed by a sequel and an animated TV series. You get 9 names.
Sequel and an animated TV series.
And it's 84?
84, 3 stars.
An animated TV series.
An animated TV series.
I get to go next this time. It goes this way again.
Sure, buddy.
How many do I start with?
What's 9 is the total.
I'll start with 9.
All
right. I would like to go -1 names, please.
Okay, name it.
Do it.
Wait, hang on. It's up to Tom.
You have to say name it.
All right.
I'm probably wrong.
Oh, Doug.
I think I'm right, though.
What is it?
Is it The Mask?
No! The Jim Mask! Carrey? 1984?
When was that? When did that come out? I told you I'm terrible. How many times do I have to tell you I'm terrible at years?
That's a whole decade!
But didn't that describe the movie pretty well? It was also a sequel and a cartoon.
I think it did have a cartoon, yeah.
All right, let them play. Let them try and guess what it is.
And it had a cartoon.
Yeah.
Mask didn't deserve 3 stars?
No. And great really, fun really. All the way? Come on.
Oh, well, let's look up
subdued.
What he said.
Hey, yeah, engagingly off.
I don't think it was subdued.
Even
I don't think it was
subdued at times.
I don't think subdued at times. Yeah.
I got fixated on that.
Oof. All right, here I'll give you guys.
I saw every movie.
Nine names. You get 9 names. I'll start.
What are we at? 7. Right.
How many sequels? 1 sequel.
It says followed by a sequel.
A sequel. I'll do 7 because you had 8, right?
Yeah.
You want to go?
Sequel and animated. 6. I'll do.
You want to go 5 or
no? Name
four. All right, here you go. 6 names. There's almost no way you can't get this with 6 names.
All right, yeah.
Reginald Vell Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
William Atherton.
Oh, I know it already.
Yeah.
Oh,
this next one.
I'll give
is
you
such
the initials.
Ernie Hudson.
Oh, okay, yeah. Ghostbusters.
That is correct. Okay.
I have a memory of Ghostbusters coming out way before that, but I guess that's not
I thought
true.
It was like 82.
I would have thought it was more like way closer to like 82. I felt like a little kid when that came out.
Yeah.
You're right about the 10 years on The Mask. I have no idea when that movie came out.
You're way off on The Mask.
But 2.5 stars from Len, 1/2 star shy of 3, and the last review of the movie followed by Son of the Mask and an animated TV series.
By the way, we were offered to
how often does that happen?
Yeah. We were offered to write either one that we wanted to.
Yep.
Son of the Mask or Dumber and Dumberer.
Yeah. Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah. They offered us both of those.
They offered us either one. They're like, which one do you guys want to do? To which we said, neither.
And we told them not to do it.
We're like, this is crazy.
We said, these are bad ideas.
So, like, you're doing a Mask movie? We're like, great. And then what time is Jim Carrey coming? Oh, he's never coming.
We don't need him.
He has nothing to do with
this. We don't need him. You can give the mask to somebody else.
Right. Yeah. Like, that was the appeal of that movie.
Same premise, average Joe found a mask. Origin story.
Wasn't Michael Ian Black was in the process of being the Jim Carrey? They wanted him, and he said no, he'll never work again. Like he to be the Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, and he said no, thank you.
And it was weird because they cast guys who very much looked like them, and you couldn't quite tell because they were making faces. So you would have thought if you went by fast, you would have been like, oh. Look, there's Jeff Daniels.
I bet in foreign markets, people thought it was really Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels.
Those guys were pretty committed to those parts. Like, the trailer and stuff made me go, at least they're trying. But just the idea of, like, why would anyone care? Where do these two characters come from? Why are they so dumb?
Where the people aren't even trying.
There should be.
Do you see a lot of movie trailers are like, oh, these fuckers aren't even trying.
They're not even trying.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
You're not even trying. I mean, it'd be easy to just cast a guy, just have him have wigs. You know what I mean?
Right.
Especially the Jim Carrey one seemed to be doing a good impression.
That was Eric Christian Olsen.
Yeah, and he's been in other stuff, and he's good.
See? He was in Not Another Teen Movie.
He's all right. Here, write down for me who you want me to call a shithead, because you guys lost the game. so you get to pick shitheads for the end, very end of the show. So just write anywhere on here, just somebody for me to call. Could be a real person. Don't say it out loud. I'm going
to
say.
I just want to come back to Doug, regular listeners of our in studio eps. For last time I was here,
our in studio eps.
When we did
eps is just episodes, right?
Yes. No, it's Omar eps.
You were being cool.
Yes,
Omar eps episodes. When I used Everything Must Go as an In Theaters Now, and I told people to take to Twitter, let me know if they think that was a fair clue or an unfair clue. And with the last
they
vote
came
that I counted,
to you on Twitter, and
they
said,
came to you or me on Twitter. And searched all of our at replies.
Yeah.
And with the last vote coming in 1 hour before this,
I know
podcast,
some people are just now telling me like they just listened to that one just in the last couple of days. But what's the grand total?
The grand total of people who believed that it was an unfair clue because it wasn't in enough theaters, it was too little a film. The grand total of people who said it wasn't fair.
Oh my God, could you stretch this out any further?
He's so belaboring this work to prove that I was wrong, that movie was in theaters when it was.
39 people said unfair, should never have used it, never heard of that
39,
movie.
39, that's all?
39 people.
I got more than that.
The number of people who said totally legitimate, whether they knew it or not.
17,000.
385.
Right, but those are people writing to you.
It wasn't split that way. That was both of us.
No way. Why would I sit there and think that I got more than 30 of them if there was that big of a difference?
Go ahead and recount.
Ugh, like I'm going to bother because it's such a waste of time. I'm even cutting all this out of the show. You're not even going to get your say anymore
about it, except for
amongst your Twitter followers.
You will not.
How many followers do you have now?
17,000 something.
Yeah. You're killing it.
Yeah. Fucking asshole. Wow.
There's 200 extra thousand people that wrote to me and said Sam Levine's a shithead without putting the at symbol before your name, so you had no way of counting it.
I saw those.
No, but that was a fun little exercise in how the public is always right when, in fact, they're wrong.
I see. By the way, I just have three things to say to you.
Oh, my God. There's so
Cyrus,
more?
Rabbit Hole, and Who Slew Auntie Rue?
Right. Well, Who Slew Auntie Rue was a ridiculous one because I was just being silly with that one.
And Cyrus and Rabbit Hole?
Rabbit Hole, I learned my lesson and never did it again.
And Cyrus.
So that's sort of how it works.
Do you guys remember
curve.
The poster for the movie Rabbit Hole, which where he was like right up behind Nicole Kidman, and it said, sometimes the only way out is through?
Yeah.
And you pointed this out to me, which
it
is,
really
it
looks
looked
like
he was butt-fucking.
Yeah.
And
the only way out is through.
It's Rabbit Hole.
Terrible poster.
Dick is lying right up with her butt cheeks.
If something that bad happens to you, ass-fucking is the only
way. Was it like
The only way out is through.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it's
rabbit hole. Put it in that rabbit
do
hole.
Do yourself a favor right now. Google the poster.
Yeah.
And then remember the tagline, the only way out is through.
What
and
about
then, and then
so
go ahead and
weird.
Look at Yogi Bear again.
Yogi Bear.
Their
Yogi
Bear blowjob
good
poster.
Things come in bears.
And there's one where Yogi Bear laying back on the grass with his arms behind his head.
It is true. I think Yogi's behind him, and Boo Boo's behind him, and Yogi's got a look on his face.
Yeah,
no,
so funny. Wow,
need to look at that.
That's been T.J. Miller's cross to bear because he was in that.
Tim Heidecker had a scorched earth policy with that movie when it came out.
Wow,
and I know for a fact, like Donald DeLine, one of the producers of that movie, was like, asked Andy Daly, because Andy's in it.
Yeah.
You know, a dear friend of ours and great comedian, and asked Andy, like, why is Tim from Tim and Eric? Like, literally, Tim put out like 1,000 tweets against that movie.
Yeah.
And the producers called Andy, like, what the fuck's going on?
Why is your buddy doing this?
Why are these guys, why is there a scorched earth policy?
Yeah. Sometimes you just got to take a stand on things.
We were just offered the sequel. We were
like
offered
Pirates,
the sequel.
Pirates
we were
4 and
sequel. Yogi Bear sequel?
We were just offered it.
Mm-hmm. They're making
what do you think?
Bear
like
sequel?
He's still having some trouble getting
Will
hold of those
Will it do better or
baskets?
Worse than the Garfield sequel?
I think that they probably have the
did
math
we do the Garfield
figured
sequel?
Out.
No.
We did a punch up on the first one.
Right. I was offered a role in the first Garfield.
And you said no.
I didn't do it because we were doing something. I was offered a role that then Stephen Tobolowsky played. Which
oh, I thought you might have gotten the Breckenmeyer role.
I did not see the
Yogi Bear 2 is in the works.
Well, then you should still know about it. If you haven't seen a movie, it doesn't mean you can't know all about it.
Really?
Yeah. Like Everything Must Go. all right. Well, this was a fantastic gathering.
Enjoy the book. I think you're going to like it a lot.
Never Not Funny Studios. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read it. Yeah. Like maybe I'll read a chapter a week.
Oh, God, that's slow.
And then,
it's really only 285 pages long.
You, but you I want to review, like I'll review a chapter shit. Each week on the show.
Great.
That's like,
great.
I'll be like, this week's chapter was good.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing.
No, that's
like, great. Really in-depth.
Very... It's very student.
This one, I lost interest, but you guys give it a try. As chapters go, it's not the worst.
It also contains the entire script for the Reno 911 sequel that we never made.
Yeah.
In the back of the book.
Yeah.
In the back, there's a little appendix.
Where do they go in the next one?
You'll see.
Wow.
Yeah. It's called Reno 911 SOS.
So when you're...
We also talked about doing a movie called Reno 911 Miami... New York, New York, Las Vegas, which was a sequel to Reno 911 Miami.
It's like CSI
set at the New York, New York
wow.
casino in Las Vegas.
Which is only 60 miles from Reno.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's Reno 911 Miami, New York, New York, Las Vegas. full working title of the,
so
of the film.
So when your publisher said, guys, it's got to be 260 pages,
mm-hmm.
and you were like, what are we going to...
It's quite a bit longer than that, actually.
Yeah,
it's 300 pages?
It's... I'm not really sure.
Because this is what I would do if I had to write a book.
Yeah.
I would write like 50 pages mm-hmm. and then go, I'm exhausted.
Right.
Can I just include something I wrote elsewhere? Right.
We have a section of samples in the back of a couple different kinds of outlines.
I'm very excited to read your book. Mm-hmm. It's, and I don't read.
It's a pretty quick read.
It's a pretty quick read.
Yeah. No. I mean, yeah. I don't know how to read.
Yeah. We'll joke about the book.
We'll tape it for you.
It's the only thing we've ever done that is getting unanimously glowing reviews.
First time. First
really?
Time.
I'm totally serious.
First time we've ever put anything it's out there that hasn't been universally hated right. by
yeah,
everybody.
You just have to dive into a dying medium and you'll be fine.
Yep. Right. Yeah.
I love it.
Can I get it on, say, my Kindle?
Of course. On the old Amazon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or your iPad.
I don't know if I'll ever adopt that. Way of looking at a book, as long as actual books still exist.
Mm-hmm. I got about 10 years. Then
I fairness, thank both yeah. of you for giving me something that I can
real
roll joints on this thing.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
solid. It's a
oh,
real
no, it's
thing.
Real, oh, yeah,
it's
not
just
real
some
book.
Nonsense.
That's a real
over
book.
The
roll the shit out of some joints yeah. on that.
Glossy cover. You can store coke off of it.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. There's
embossed?
Already some boobs on there, so if you're
yeah,
alone, you can still have
a little
bit of a party.
You got to be careful up there.
Feel it.
The back's flat.
Okay, roll on the back, Doug.
The back is flat enough. So let me thank once again Sam the Man Levine, a.k.a. Lil Wolverine.
Thank you.
For coming down.
That's a really dreadful nickname.
They're both.
You should have seen him, though,
terrible.
When he had the mutton chops.
I know, I get it.
It was a whole beard.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
You don't have to describe it to me at all. It sums up everything.
You should have seen when the adamantium claws came out.
It was,
oh, no.
He totally cool. deserved the nickname when he started slicing up the place. Tom Lennon. And Robert Ben-Gurion, the authors of Writing Movies for Fun and Profit, but you could cross out the fun end and just go straight to the profit.
That's what we did.
Yeah, that's what you guys did on every every copy. They went through painstakingly with a Sharpie.
With a red Sharpie.
And did it themselves. They put an X on both times it's mentioned on here. So that's fantastic. And as always, Leonard Maltin's mama is a shithead.
Oh.
And Leonard Maltin's wrinkled balls is a shithead.
Oh, how dare you.
In fairness, those balls are probably pretty wrinkly. You've seen that beard, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just think about that for a second. Let's all take a long moment here to think about Leonard Maltin's balls.
You'd better hope he doesn't listen
Plus,
to this episode.
He spent the better part of 40, 50 years sitting in a warm movie theater seat.
Yeah. Greasy popcorn pressed up against the air.
Is he going to the bathroom?
Pad resting on top of it. Those balls have seen some stuff, man.
If those balls could talk.
Oh, let's get to a podcast. It's called Malt Balls.
Malt Balls, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Hey.
Malt Balls.
I'm the one on the right. I'm the one on the left.
I'm the wrinkly one. And we're Leonard's Malt Balls.
I can't believe you're still listening. Turn it off and go feel shame. Anyone who's still listening...
I'm the one on the left.
I'm the one on the right.
And we don't agree on everything, but we love movies.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug.